Welcome into the BBP2 in our second Inquirer Bengals podcast of the week. Every Thursday during the season, we'll bring you more specific game preview insight from players and your Cincinnati.com beat writers. But that's only the beginning. Every week, we'll bring you Paul Dougherty's hot seat with our guest on Beyond the Stripes, our advanced analytics conversation with the team at Pro Football Focus, as well as a Throwback Thursday interview with a voice from Bengals past. All right, let's go. All right, welcome to the BBP2. Time for the deuce, folks. Paul Daner Jr. and Jim Osirski. Your Bengals beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer. What's going on?
Man, just, we're in Paul Brown Stadium for a week.
We're inside Paul Brown Stadium.
And it was funny, Paul. We asked the players about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, we haven't been here in a while. And, you know, it's practice, and we're here during the week. But it is kind of nice to think we're in Cincinnati for, you know, a 10-day period or whatever, practice. And,
yeah, we don't have to worry about where we're traveling to or how we're getting there. Or...
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm cool with it. Put it that way.
I'm cool with it. Cool for the last seven. For the last seven at home. No more Mondays, Thursdays. The only thing left is the Christmas debacle.
Right.
That no one's excited, but we'll battle through that.
Turkey bowl off it.
Turkey bowl. until then... we are going to talk a little bit about this weekend's game and some of the developments this week. We're finally back on schedule here, too.
Right.
So we had a little bit of the late first BBP earlier in the week because we were just getting back from New York on Tuesday. So you got that on Wednesday. But now we're coming back Thursdays. So we're back on the Tuesday-Thursday run. So we're here for you. Let's dive into this. So yesterday, Wednesday, at the Bengals media session, we saw the latest turn in the Vontaze Burfict saga.
Yeah.
Start here. Vontaze Burfict played his best game of the season on Monday night.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He was just flying to the ball, hitting hard, forcing fumble. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
He had two plays where he looked exposed towards the end of the game, two critical runs. The details of that, I don't know. You know, it's hard to know the full scheme of what happened unless you really know what they're doing. But it didn't look good. But regardless, so yesterday, James Rapine, our friend who works with Mo Egger over at ESPN 1530, is doing an interview with Carlos Dansby. And next to him is Vontaze Burfict, who rolls up and interrupts the interview with are you the guy from the radio? Do you have a radio show? And you can hear all of this because Carlos and James both stop the
interview
midstream. And he says, yeah, I'm ES 1530, whatever. You need to keep my name out your mouth. You say all the wrong bleep.
Right.
Record that.
Which he did.
Which he was. And played it. And this is just the latest sort of event of like this that we've seen. Tez posts a picture of him flying through the air, making a tackle on his Instagram, and some dude in his Instagram comments calls him out, saying something about a play. And Vontaze fires back in the Instagram comments with a bunch of expletives. At a certain point, you got to stop worrying about this stuff. You just can't care about it. And it just, there's been other instances with pretty much every media member that exists.
Yeah.
Him yelling about something or saying something to them.
Right.
You got to let that stuff go, man. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't let that stuff. You can't care about that stuff.
Yeah, it's a.
It's an issue.
I'm two schools of thought. One, I understand it because, look, Paul, I mean, all these guys are on social media all the time. They see everything. They hear everything. I think you have to work to avoid it, put it that way. So it doesn't surprise me that he sees stuff or hears stuff. But to your point, I guess I don't get it. Like, when you're a professional athlete and you are a public figure, and you're and then you want the love of social media, and then you want to troll Steelers fans after they lose
and delete the tweets,
and then delete the tweets, and you want to get in and you sort of welcome certain things. And then the weird duality that he does, where he loves national media and will do sit downs and big stories, but then shuts us out for stuff with perceived slights and whatever. It's strange. It's just a weird. I had someone tell me in the off season, that's close to Tez, that he felt Von Tez just doesn't understand what it is we do as media people.
Well, that's apparent, because then that would infer every single one of us sucks, because sometime this year, every single one of us has basically been told we suck in some way, shape, or form, and to get away and whatever.
Right.
So, and I'm not, I mean, we don't all suck.
Right.
We just don't. Okay, I hate to break it to you. And he shouldn't care. Like, no, right. And that's my point, is you can't, I just don't, for players in this day and age, that this is a trap. Because of everything that you mentioned, that they can go down, because everything is so accessible. There is so much junk out there.
Right.
There is so much stuff out there. You can't dive into that. You just got to do you and not worry about it. But there's clearly a worry about this perception.
Right.
And it clearly irks him.
Right.
What does that mean about game day? I don't know. If he keeps going out and playing like he did on Monday,
right,
then nothing should change. Players should say, and coaches should say, keep yelling at every media member, do whatever you're doing, if that's what's fueling you.
Right.
Because if you play like that, no one's got a problem with it.
Right.
And that should be the point. That's all that should matter to him or to anyone, but, is going out and playing like he did on Monday and not like he did the first, you know, quarter of his season.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, maybe we mentioned this last year or not. Tez usually is sort of prattling on when we get into the linebacker corner. You know, there have been times I've talked to Vinny Ray and even Michael Johnson at times, or when A.J. Hawk was next to him last year, and you just hear him saying stuff like, you know.
Like, about how that's a stupid question, or don't answer that, Vinny, or something.
He's always sort of just like in the background, and, I thought James handled it well, and actually – definitely recommend going to see it. Finish this podcast, of course, but go listen to James's, because you can hear the moment when Carlos Dansby is like, what? Like, Carlos doesn't say what's happening, but if you could picture a face through audio,
you know what it looks like. Like, what in the... Yeah, no, absolutely.
But you're right, Paul. The bottom line, like you said, he played his best game. We've wondered since he's come back, why hasn't he looked the same? Is it physical issues? Is it is he not there mentally? Is he mentally, in the sense of, is he thinking about late hits or hitting guys in certain spots?
Is it conditioning?
Who knows? Maybe he's a dude who just needs to find whatever slight. Michael Jordan, whole books have been written on that.
Yeah.
You know, so... You know, Hall of Fame speeches have been centered around that.
Exactly.
So, you know, who knows? You're right, Paul. Who knows? If he comes out Sunday and Charles Clay doesn't really catch any passes and LeSean McCoy is a non-factor because 55 is amazing, and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
They need that.
Yeah.
I mean, we used so much time in the last couple of weeks talking about how much they need that. So, and I thought the way he played was a big part of the defense playing a little better on Monday. I mean, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had obviously some bad moments at the end of the game, but as a whole, I think you felt better about the way that the defense played. I mean, they made a lot of stops. They gave the offense a lot of opportunities that could have earned a win. I don't know. The whole Tez thing is just, it's just a very, he's just a rare bird, man.
Yeah.
He's just a different.
And what's interesting too, Paul, is, I mean, he was schemed at for that last touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Adam Jones said it. He's like, that they ran that pattern to get a wide receiver on Vontaze Burfict. Now, granted, receivers on linebackers is a matchup you want regardless.
Particularly a quick, sudden, young slot receiver like Sterling Shepard.
I mean, so that's asking a lot of any linebacker to do that. I mean, but it was a good formation, you know, and it's. But you know, again, it's one of the things. Pro Football Focus says it was his best game of his career, but he was also the most targeted player.
Yeah,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because they see it.
Right,
because they see it. Let's get into this Bills game.
Yeah.
A little bit. To me, this game is about bad matchups for the Bengals.
Yeah.
In areas that they have been highly criticized, and rightfully so. The Bills lead the NFL in sacks. Sacks for pass play.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you're familiar. The Bengals offensive line has struggled at times. And the Bills have the number one rushing offense in football.
Not good.
Not good. Bengals' run defense has been atrocious.
And, yeah.
I mean, if the Giants are running for 122 on you, you got a problem.
Yes.
Okay. So they have to solve those two because the Bills' way of winning is they show up, they wreck your quarterback, and run it down your throat.
Right.
And that's how teams have beat the Bengals this year. This is a bad matchup for them.
It is. Well, we'll start with the offensive line, that sort of pressure Buffalo brings. Kevin Zeitler said the line can't really draw at all from the game in Buffalo last year. He said it's again, some of the same guys, but enough different players. You know, Cincinnati native Adolphus Washington, for instance, is getting some starting run, you know, in the middle of that defense. Someone named Lorenzo Alexander's got 10 sacks.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, and it's Rex Ryan. So all they know is, you know, stuff is coming at Andy Dalton. And to me, Paul, not all of it can be put on the offensive line. I mean, the safety in New England was on Jeremy Hill. One of the sacks in New York was Tyler Eifert. I mean, so of the 28, I mean, not all of them are O-line specifically, but in general, that group has really, really struggled to protect. And look, it's a chain. Like, is Brandon LaFell getting open? Is Tyler Boyd getting open? You know, it's hard to say.
They're not getting catches.
Yeah, you know, so, and we know Andy Dalton's a guy who's going to get it to you if you are. So, I don't know. To me, this is one of those, it's so cliche, but it's true, right? I mean, the only way you stop that or slow it down is you run at him, yeah. Right? This has got to be Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
I'm glad you said that. This is something I want to get into. We've talked about how the offense has gotten better and they have they've started to work through some issues. But it still seems like the running game isn't really getting a fair shot.
Yeah.
There are times where it's just completely forgotten. I mean, there are stretches where it's like 8, 9, 10 passes in a row and then they'll come out after halftime in a rededication of the running game.
Right.
It's like someone said, "Hey, you got to remember to run it."
Right.
And it works. And we've seen when they have dedicated to it at times this year, it has worked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like beating your head against the wall, but it can work. And Hugh Jackson certainly proved here that attempts can be the difference. You just got to keep giving them a chance. Do you look at what's happened and say, let's shake it up and maybe we just try this to be a game where we truly go back Hugh J style or 2009 style and let's hand it off 35 times.
Not that
would happen.
No.
I'm saying what is the value in maybe considering that?
I think there's extreme value. I wouldn't mind seeing it trotted out. I think, you know, Ken Zampezi all year, Paul's preached to us and to me in a lot of personal conversations that it's all about winning the game you're in. So if they were to see something where they thought in the Buffalo game, doing that wins the game, they should do it. Ego aside, Andy Dalton's skills aside, AJ Green's skills aside, if they think that's the best way to win the game, they should do it. Now, can they do it? Remember early, where's I formation? Well, we've seen I formation not go anywhere a lot of times. I mean, this goes back to the offensive line issues in general. We've seen sort of the pulling action work, at times, but have we seen them, even in times where they've, other than Cleveland with Jeremy Hill's long sort of breakout run, just truly impose their will?
Yeah.
Because third and six with two runs, we've seen that. So I don't know. Is that because they haven't? You know, and then also it goes back to defense. And when you mentioned the bad matchups of stopping Buffalo, can this defense afford Ken Zampezi to go 4 and out, 3 and out, 5 and out with 7 run plays? Just to see if they can get some traction.
But how many times are you going to watch games get wrecked by sacks and pressure?
True. And Andy Dalton on the injury report this week.
Exactly. Until you say, hey, let's just line up and run it this week. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, these are a lot of the same guys that have had success at times running the ball. Yeah. Let's just get out there and see how that looks. And see how that feels on a guy with a bad right shoulder, apparently. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think that that will happen, knowing Ken. It just because he, you know, that he doesn't really, it, balance isn't really, right. I don't think, something that is of interest. And he,
not in that way, no.
Not in that way. So, but I would consider it. That's all I'm saying. I would consider it.
It's the best way to,
if there was a week to do it, it would be this one.
Yeah. Which is interesting, though, because real quick on that before we flip to that bad matchup for defense, you know, they've sort of mentioned one of the reasons, you know, when Rex Ryan brings those blitzes, that leaves A.J. Green all by himself on Stephen Gilmore or Corey Graham, which, if you ask the Bengals, I'm sure they'd say, we'll take that over running I formation and hoping to get 3 yards. That's... I don't think we're wrong. I'm wrong in stretching to say that they would prefer that matchup.
No, they would love to sit back and pass into a blitz. I mean, Dalton has done a good job against those, and that's how you get A.J. Green in one-on-ones when it's so hard to find teams giving you A.J. Green in one-on-one these days because they see the splits the same way we do. All right, so defensively, the defensive side of the bad matchup, the running game, LeSean McCoy, you'll hear in a minute here when I bring in the PFF with Steve Palazzolo this week, my favorite PFF stat in a while here when in regards to really telling you about a team. LeSean McCoy averaging 5.1 yards per carry, Buffalo number one in yards per carry in the NFL. 46.5% of LeSean McCoy's yards are on breakaways. His breakaway percentage leads the NFL. He can absolutely school you on the second level. If you can contain him to his long run being 10 and not 40,
right?
That's how you stop. They're going to bang, 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 and boom.
Right.
You know, they're going to keep trying it, and eventually they're going to hit one on you and hit the. And LeSean can do the breakaway as good as anybody in football. That's the key against this team, is to not let them break away. Bengals fans are shaking their heads saying, oh, no.
Right.
We've seen a whole lot of this.
Yeah, we've seen a whole lot of 20-plus.
A whole lot of 20-plus and a whole lot of guys whiffing on the second level.
Yeah.
That's a concern. It's just that does not play well into what this team has looked like this year.
No, because what does that mean? That means your linebackers are tackling in space and filling the right holes and not getting blown up by linemen, you know, and that's just through 9 games, you know.
You are who you are.
Yeah, I don't see it changing, Paul. I really don't. I mean, Gunther ran out some different combinations. Carlos Dansby didn't play as much. You know, Vinny Ray was
still
in
played
there.
Quite a bit.
He still played quite a bit. I mean, Vinny Ray, you know, got the start for whatever that's worth for people, and you know, Vinny was in there with Tez. And some nickel, but I don't. I mean, they tackled a little better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just to me. LeSean McCoy on your fantasy team.
You want that? Yeah, must start. RB1.
Yeah, RB1. You know what I mean? I just don't see. I haven't seen. Look, again, the Giants. If Marshall Newhouse is your fourth,
you cannot stop laying into Marshall Newhouse. This is all week. You've just been going off on how much Marshall Newhouse sucks.
Here's the thing. I would talk to Marshall every day of the week.
Yeah.
Marshall is such a good guy. I mean, he helped me out this offseason with a story. But he's not. I mean, there's a reason. Yeah, he was bad. The fourth guard.
Yeah.
That the Giants rolled out there Monday night.
Yeah.
And he totally turned Geno Atkins on 3rd and 6.
Yeah.
And like the play of the game.
Yeah.
Like Eli Manning said, "Oh, look at that play over there. Let's guess what? Let's change it and run behind Marshall Newhouse over Geno Atkins. I don't see how that changes when you had a better group.
I don't either. I guess you probably don't. You guys don't need to hear what our predictions are. We'll go ahead and you might be able to guess where we're going with this. And Jim, do you want to just tell me?
Yeah,
what your score
Bills.
Is?
Bills 20. Yeah, look, it's still gonna be close because that's what this Bengals team is. That's what these opponents are. They're average, just like the or below average, just like the Bengals. 23-20 Bills. AJ Green's gonna have a better day. Just because of the nature of the defense, I think Rex Ryan's not going to totally change his coverages. So it'll be close. It'll be frustrating for that PBS crowd.
No doubt about that. I have the Bengals losing as well in the 1 point. I think I'm going to say 1 point variety again, just because we've seen so many of those in the 23-22 area. Everything we just said, we've seen it. All right, before we get out of here and bring you PFF and some of Jeremy Hill from Beyond the Stripes this past Tuesday, we want to remind you guys about MacWeldon.com. In case you don't know, we're loving Mac Weldon here. Listen, they've got smart design, premium fabrics. It's real simple. Just go to their website. They got the most comfortable. You need underwear.
Yeah, you do.
You need socks.
Antimicrobial underwear.
Don't be smelly.
Exactly.
No one wants to be smelly. Hoodies, sweatpants, all kinds of great stuff there. It's all about comfort. So that if you don't like it, you don't think it's comfortable, you can send it back to get your money back. What else can you ask for? Good stuff there. Make sure you go. It's great for working out. So go get your workout on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be running next to you, but I'm still going to be wearing a hoodie, watching, drinking coffee,
watching.
Eating a donut. That's me wearing the Mac Weldon stuff. So anyway, make sure we've got a promo code. We save you money here at
BDP.
That's what we do.
Beat.
Go to MacWeldon.com. 20% off. Promo code BEAT is in Bengals Beat Podcast.
Yeah.
BEAT.
What we do for y'all.
AT. I'm wearing the underwear right now. Does that make you uncomfortable, Jim? I believe that's a yes. I achieved my goal. All right. I'm glad. That's how I wanted to end this. All right. Just make sure you check that out. Now, make sure you hang around. My conversation with PFF, talking about Vontaze Burfict's game and his sort of season arc and some of that LeSean McCoy stuff, and also Jeremy Hill from our Beyond the Stripes on Tuesday, talking a little bit. I kind of dove into endorsements and the off-the-field business of being a running back, in a star position on the team. Interesting stuff. So hang around for that. And otherwise, make sure you check out Cincinnati.com. Pick up that Bengals app. Follow us as we continue to cover this team throughout the season. We're happy to have a home game this weekend. So
yes.
Good on that. All right, have a good one, everybody. All right, welcome back here to Beyond the Stripes, presented by JoesFilo.com. As we go forward here in this third segment, I've got kind of a topic that I want to jump into that I just think is really interesting, and you're the perfect person to talk to about. And it's about, obviously football first, number one. You got to play, you got to be great. But when you come into this league, now everybody is their own business, and there are lots of opportunities out there for players. You and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry have gone together on stuff and off the field to try to, put your brand out there. Let's start here with this, talking about off the field life and how you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
When you first are coming into the league, so combine, drafting, all of that, how much is it in your head about this is how I want to approach building a brand in the NFL and how I want to approach my off-the-field self? Because you have to have those conversations before you get to your team.
I think for me, it's my principles is everything off the field. It's me, and who I am as a person. I won't do anything that I feel like isn't me and something that I fully support. So I think, you know, when you do those, when you do it that way, you really love the things that you do off the field. So everything that I've done, whether it's giving back or getting involved with something, is something that I fully agree in and believe in. And I think for me, that's, you know, what I've done since I've, you know, been in the league.
When you're a running back in particular, there's a clear shelf life in this league, and there is a lot of opportunities to be had early in a career. Mm-hmm. You know, we see this so often. These first 4 years, guys can become the most famous, some of the most famous players in the league immediately. You know, with how much is that in your mind when you came in of, I want to try to hop on things early as they come to me, because you just never know, particularly at your position in this league?
Well, that's, to me, that's like back burner stuff. Really, as football players, our number one goal is playing football. And obviously that's going out there on Sundays and playing the game and having fun. And everything else is kind of second fiddle. So for me, that's not something I think about every day or something that I kind of work towards or something like that. It's kind of just extra, just land the app. Normally when you're playing well, you kind of get more of those opportunities. So, but for me, I'm really not focused on that stuff. I'm trying to focus on the team and winning games.
How many, let's just say, over an off season, this last off season, how many calls, how many opportunities do you get? How many people approach you or your team with something? Is that,
yeah, I mean, all the time, all the time. You know, it's definitely great. I think we're blessed as players, especially as skill position guys in this league. You know, I think a lot of us don't really realize the outreach we have and how many people are actually watching and following and seeing what's going on. And for me, it's great to get out sometimes and kind of see that and reach back to the fans and kind of see, you know, how really intrigued they are and everything that we're doing. So I think that's always a good thing for me. And I definitely appreciate having the fan base out there.
Has there been stuff you said no to?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But I think for me, like I said, it's stuff, if I feel like it's not really me or something that I believe in, then I probably won't do it.
What is the one that sticks out most where you were most quickly like, absolutely not, I'm not doing that?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's been some stuff where I was like, I don't know about that one. But, you know, for the most part, I like to reach out and do things to help out.
There's other things that guys do we see a lot of now, and, you know, you're very active on social media too, is there's these little brand drop-ins, whether it's on social. That seems to be a new popular thing. Do you get a lot of that where they say, okay, you know, if you can just drop our brand, and I'm sure there's lots of, it makes for a good relationship on both sides.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I said, if those companies and stuff, it's something I support, and I got a backpack company I'm involved in, and Sprayground, and they give back all the time. I think we just gave back, like, 300 backpacks to Louisiana, and those are the type of people I like to deal with, because, you know, it's not really about making money or anything like that. It's more about just giving back and positive energy and just giving back to the universe, and that's what I'm about.
This team in general, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I see stuff on other teams, and guys are obviously out in the community doing stuff, whether it's, you know, the stuff you guys do on Tuesdays or Habitat or whatever you guys are out doing. But I don't know how much I often see, like, it seems like almost the entire team is out at some of these things, like Hometown Huddle a couple weeks ago. Does that ever astound you at how much guys come out, and not just for stuff like that, but supporting everybody else's charities and events and things like
that?
Yeah, for
sure. I think as players, we all go back to our childhoods and how much we looked up to certain players and certain people. And now that we're blessed to be in this opportunity, and you have no other choice but to give back. It's just, it's in us. It's in most of us. And I think, you know, a lot of the guys on the team have kids, and they know how much it means to them. So it's just easy for us. And putting smiles on people's faces, it means a lot to us. So that's something that's easy to do for us.
Absolutely. All right, so we have a little something here. I don't know if you, I think I've told you before, I have your backpack.
All right. I like that.
Now, this is the Stay Turnt Spray Ground backpack. Now, what I would like to do is we're going to take a quick break here in a second. And you're going to come back and explain what the hell is going on with this backpack.
All right.
There's a whole lot of stuff happening here.
Right.
We're going to talk about cash storks, which are probably my favorite aspect of this whole thing. So let's take a quick break here. The Hawk Wrestle here again for Jeremy Hill for joining us here. Great to have you with us.
We'll be right back here on Beyond the Sharp, presented by JosephIO.com.
All right, welcome to Bengals in Focus with Pro Football Focus. I'm your Bengals beat writer, Paul Daner, Jr. at Cincinnati.com. Here with Steve Pelizzolo from Pro Football Focus, lead analyst. You know, this week, the Bengals look forward to Buffalo, but I want to take one quick look back at the Giants and really kind of the season evolution of Vontaze Burfict. You guys had Vontaze Burfict with his highest grade of the season in New York. Let's start with this. What did you guys see him doing differently in New York, and how have you seen his season progress? Because he's going to play a big role this week.
Yeah, he was just so disruptive in all phases. So he made a couple plays in coverage, got his hand on a ball, broke it up. As a pass rusher, got in there from multiple pressures, shedding blocks really quickly. Yeah, he only blitzed six times, but he made the most of them. And then in the run game, took on blocks, made plays, made a bunch of stops. I know it didn't finish well, didn't have a great play at the end of the game when the Giants were running out the clock, but overall it was probably the best we've seen from Burfict all season, and the type of disruption that he provides in all phases as a pass rusher, in coverage and in the run game, that's what the Bengals need to really get their defense back on track.
We saw a lot of you guys having his grade pretty low in his first earlier games of the year, and then in Washington a little bit of a step up too. So there's the chart, you know, it looks like it's trending upward for Vontaze Burfict, which should be good news for Bengals fans, particularly because the matchup could be interesting this week. Talk a little bit about Buffalo and their running attack and what you guys see from what they do, and because you could see Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict, two of the notable most, I don't know what the word you would use, intense players on the field.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah, going head-to-head quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be fun to watch. But the Bills love to run that power scheme. They'll run counter. That involves the backside guard pulling, and then Burfict has to go take him on in the hole. So Incognito, Burfict, maybe meeting up in the hole a few times. That's worth the price of admission in itself. But that's leading to LeSean McCoy in the backfield, and Tyrod Taylor, his run threat. But really, McCoy bounced back from an up-and-down season the last couple years. He's a big play threat for Buffalo. You give him the slightest crease, he can take it to the house. So that speed and shiftiness, the Bengals really need to play gap sound, and it's going to start with Burfict. Gap sound and get off their blocks. So the idea of Burfict taking on blocks in the hole, blowing plays up, the way he played on Monday night for most of the game, that's going to be crucial to stop the Bills' run game.
One of my favorite stats that you guys have in regards to this week is LeSean McCoy. You know, you look at the numbers, hey, he's averaging 5.1 yards per rush this year. He's got six TDs. He's been really efficient. But so many of the yards you guys show have come on breakaways. You guys have him leading the league in breakaway percentage at 46.5. That's about guys on the second level making sure that his long runs are 10 and not 50, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that you know, when he gets the slightest crease, when he does get his good blocking, he maximizes it as well as any running back in the league right now. So that's the key, like I said, playing gap sound, getting off blocks, because if he does get to the second level, has the speed and shiftiness to create a big play.
As good as anybody in the league at taking it to the house once he gets to that second level. That'll be huge for the Bengals this week, who obviously came away from the Giants game disappointed that one of the worst rushing attacks in football were able to finish the game off by doing just that. So we'll see how that goes. Those are inside the numbers with Pro Football Focus. I'm Paul Daner, Jr., and we'll talk to you next week.